Thank you. I would like to say thank you for inviting me. This work is joint work with Shen. Today I'm going to talk about two harmonic analysis topics in the finite field settings. The first one is extension problem, and the other one is averaging problem. The main goal is to investigate the sharp mapping properties of the extension and averaging operator, especially relate to homogeneous varieties in three dimensions, which shall be defined later. First, let me introduce some notation for finite fields. FQ is finite field with Q elements. Chi is a non-trivial relative character. For example, Q is a prime, then FQ is just prime field. Then we may take one specific canonical relative character by this kind of exponential function. So today, we are going to work on the d-dimensional vector space of a finite field, where we endow this space with a normalized counting measure, dx. So we also consider dual space with a soft counting measure, dm. So we have two different spaces, but both spaces are group isomorphic, but we have two different measures, right? So for example, given function on FQD dx, and actually, the Fourier transform of a function F is defined on the dual space, right? So it's usually the definition of a Fourier transform takes the following form, usual form. Here we have normalizing path because dx is normalized component. So actually, the Fourier definition of Fourier transform depends on domain of function, right? Here. By taking two different measures and two different space, we have the usual Euclidean formula for analysis, such as the Prandtl theorem, Young's inequality, Hausdorff-Young's inequality, everything is fine. Then we can do analysis in the finite field setting. Okay. Now let me introduce our variety. Homogeneous variety. First, we fix homogeneous polynomial in d variable. Then homogeneous polynomial generalize the homogeneous variety. Homogeneous variety just set by defined like this one. So especially the elements in homogeneous variety are nothing but the solution of this homogeneous equation. Okay? For example, a simple example of the homogeneous variety is cone in three dimensions defined by this set. Here, this is homogeneous polynomial of degree 2. This name is a cone, which was introduced by Mockenhaupt and Tau. Now, here is an important definition of a surface measure. Given homogeneous variety, we can take normalized surface measure by the following form. Here, just measure just function. Here, h of x, we write, for the simple notation, we write h of x for the characteristic function on h. Here, dx is normalized surface measure, right? By taking this formula, we can easily check the total mass of our H is 1, right? So normal, this sigma is normalized surface measure on support on H. Review that the total mass of FQD is also 1, right? Because dx is normalized count measure. Now let me introduce the definition of extension problem in the finite field setting. First, we define the constant R star P to R as the best constant such that the following usual extension F may hold. The main issue is that the constant R star P to R is always finite because we are working on finite field set, right? So main point is that this constant may depend on underlying finite field, the size of finite field. Here, Q is a parameter, the size of underlying finite field. So extension problem in the finite field setting asks us to determine the exponent P to R, P and R such that R star P to R is uniform constant, which is independent of underlying finite field. Okay? So we have some meaningful mapping problems. So let me introduce what kind of extension problems were studied. Mokenhoff and Tao first introduced this extension problem in the finite field setting. They mainly studied the extension problem for paraboloids, which is defined by this set. This is the usual analog of the Euclidean paraboloid. They also studied the extension problem for cone in only three dimensions, cone in three dimensions specifically. Cone is defined by this set as before. Yosevich and myself continue the Mokenhoff and Tao's work by studying spherical extension problems. Especially, we improved the extension results for the paraboloid in higher dimensions. Especially in two dimensions, the extension problem for circle and parabola was completely understood. Moreover, recently, Shen and myself did just generalize the extension results for circle and parabola to arbitrary algebraic curves in two dimensions. In fact, algebraic curve, any curves in two dimensions never contain any line, then you can get same result as the data of parabola and circle. Okay. In three dimensions, Mokenhoff and Tao gave us the complete answer for the extension problem for cone in three dimensions. And in fact, they got the critical exponent L2, L4 estimate. L2, L4 estimate works, and which actually implied the best possible extension estimate, right? They also provide that the necessary condition for the boundedness of extension operator for cone. So usually this is one. This axis is one of P axis. This axis is one of R. And this point gives us L2, L4 estimate. This critical point, this exponent is a critical point. Mokenhoff and Tao just proved that necessary condition takes this region for extension problem for cone in three dimensions. And usually we get more if variety is like a sphere and paraboloid, we can do more. Necessary condition takes more broader region. Actually, today our goal, our result says that we can generalize the extension problem for cone in three dimensions. Okay. So our theorem says, okay, here H is homogeneous sprites, we need a size condition of homogeneous sprites, like a size of H is similar as true scale. This assumption is natural. The main assumption is that our homogeneous sprite H does not contain any plane passing through the origin. Then we get L2-L4 estimate, which is same as the result of conical extension result. So you can either check if our assumption does contain the cone is like best case of this our assumption. Okay. So what if a homogeneous sprite contains like some plane? Then the extension estimate is too very bad. So for example, homogeneous sprite H is like just a plane, like that. Like it's x1 plus x2 plus x3 equals 0, right? This is a homogeneous sprite, right? This is a homogeneous polynomial of degree 1. Then we have plane, right? This sprite H contains plane. In this case, the extension estimate is very bad, but we are not interested in this case. Okay? Another example to contain the large plane is that like we take H is like that. X1 scale, X2 scale equals 0. So here X3 is 3, right? 3. Then in XY plane, we get X1, X2 plane. This is origin. We get two straight line, and then X3 is 3, right? So we have two planes. In that case, in this case, like the extension estimate too bad. So we exclude this case. Otherwise, we can get L2-L4 estimate. Okay. Now today I will introduce two different proofs of our main theorem. One is based on geometric approach. The other is based on Fourier analysis. First, we want to show that L2-L4 estimate holds. So first, we need a reduction lemma to get a L2-L4 estimate. So here, main assumption is that if we can control this summation, then we can get L2-L4 estimate. The simple idea to get this lemma is that just we consider this one, FD sigma has L4 estimate. This exponent, four is even, right? So if we raise the power 2 here, and then if we apply for Francella's theorem, then this is must be same as FD sigma, convolution FD sigma, right? Here, L2, FQD, and dx, normalized complement, and half. And then if you look at this one, there is no Fourier transform. It's continuous, right? So essentially, this kind of convolution gives us this kind of summation, usually, right? So we can maybe control this assumption, apply this. This is the basic idea. So in our case, dimension d equals 3, right, 3. So to finish our proof of main theorem, just we need this kind of estimate. If you can count the number of elements in this set, then we are done, right? Now, let me introduce how can we control this estimate. First, let's see this assumption X must be in H, right? Our homogeneous variety, which means P of X must be 0. Y also in H, which means Y equals same as cosine minus X. Also Y in H, so that P of polynomial P of cosine minus X is 0, right? So we just count the common solution of the two different two equations, right? Which is less than similar Q. Then our homogeneous variety is symmetric about origin, so that this condition is same as just this one, right? Because P is a homogeneous polynomial. So that P of our goal is to find the common solution of P of X equals 0 and P of X minus cos is 0, which means P of X equals 0 is our homogeneous variety. P of X minus cos just generates H plus cos, right? This is translate of H by cos. So just this is our main goal, right? In three dimensional any hyperplane, like in three dimension, may look true for this estimate, but the main problem is that we need to prove rigorously, right? So let me introduce how can you prove this one. First observation is that our homogeneous variety is union of lines passing through the origin. Because this is the origin. Because if P of X not equal to 0, which implies P of X not times T equals 0. For all T equal not 0. Right, this is true, which means one point is on our homogeneous variety, then the whole line, right, thanks to through this origin and this point, it must be in our homogeneous variety. The second observation is that if our homogeneous variety does not contain any planes passing through the origin, there must be the number of intersections between our homogeneous variety and any plane passing through the origin, it must be less than similar as Q. This conclusion can be obtained by observing the number of common solutions of P of X equals 0 and M times M X equals 0. So if we try to find the common solution is nothing but the variety generated by two variable polynomial homogeneous variety just to have similar element, maybe Q elements, right? So this is true. Now last step is this one. Our goal was to show that the left-hand side is less than similar Q if for any cos is not 0, right? So we can get the first inequality from first observation, right? Now, to get a second inequality, first observe that N is must be similar as Q. Why? Because size of our homogeneous variety is similar as Q square. Okay? So each line has exactly Q element. Each line has exactly Q. Each line, right? So that if the number of lines inside of our homogeneous variety is exactly similar as Q. Now first observation. Now let me fix First we fix Cauchy, right? Now we fix LJ here. Let me say this line is LJ. Now let us assume that the Cauchy is here. If LJ line, our line contains Cauchy, what is the LJ plus Cauchy? Same, right? If LJ, this is direction, translation direction. So that if our line contains Cauchy, then must be LJ plus Cauchy. Analysis of this set is must be true. Too much big, right? Too much big. Now let me take another line here, LI. LI doesn't contain Cauchy, right? Only one line contains Cauchy. Other line doesn't contain Cauchy, right? Now here, now translate by Cauchy. Let me say this is LI plus Cauchy, right? This line is away from origin. This line is never same as other lines, right? Inside of our homogeneous variety. Now consider our plane, our plane plot. Our plane contains origin and this line, translate line, right? Now let's compute LI, this translate line, in effect, our homogeneous variety. Since from the second assumption, our blackboard contains Q lines, right? So 1, 2, 3, Q lines. So must be intersection point is Q lines, right? So this is not similar, less than similar one, right? So in this case, if LJ contains Cauchy, then this intersection is must be Q. Otherwise, this intersection is less than similar one. So this N is a similar Q. So we get this conclusion. Okay? So this is a simple observation. Okay? But we have a different proof of the theorem, which is based on the Fourier decay. To be surprised, the decay of our homogeneous variety, transformation of our homogeneous variety is very good. It was unexpected before, but we computed the decay of Fourier transform on the homogeneous variety in 3 dimensions, not 4 dimensions, not 6 dimensions. Okay? The next proof is based on just the well-known Stomeinstadt sign argument and the finite field set. Right? Let me review the Stomeinstadt sign argument in the finite field set. If we adopt the Euclidean argument, then we can like get this kind of lemma. There is no difficulty to get this lemma for finite field. The main assumption is like that. This size assumption is natural, right? That is the decay of Fourier transform on our variety. It must be less than similar Q to the minus dimension plus 1 over 2, right? This is very good, which implies automatically this matching property. This exponent is called the Stein-Tomasz exponent. If dimension equals 3, we automatically get to L2L4 estimate. So we are done. Once we prove this decay, right? No, any set. But in my case, like now I'm proving our theorem, right? Our theorem, we are dealing with just homogeneous variety in 3 dimensions. So I wrote down H. This is not generally like this is any variety, any set, right? If DK is good, very good in-flight static mass exponent. The main difficulty to compute this fluid decay. In fact, in general homogeneous fluid, we cannot expect this kind of good decay. It is true. In three dimension, it's yes. So we are very surprised. For example, now let me take homogeneous fluid in four dimension. This is homogeneous fluid, right? If we use explicit Gaussian sum, estimate, this is even dimension, right? Then you can compute this Fourier decay for all m is not zero. This is sharp in general. This decay is too bad, right? However, if we replace h by like other dimension, any other dimension, 5, t equal intensity 4, right? 3 is okay. If dimension is other, then fluid decay is very good. This is very strange. This is only property for finite field. But in this case, if variety is like related to just homogeneous polynomial theory too, then we can compute explicitly the decay of this Fourier transform. However, if this degree is 3, it is very difficult to compute the Fourier decay of this kind of variety. But in our case, we deal with general homogeneous variety in three dimensions. Okay. So let me introduce how can we compute the decay of Fourier transform on our homogeneous variety. Exactly, we want to get this estimate, right? If our homogeneous variety does not contain plane any passing through the origin, then we get this kind of good Fourier decay in three dimensions, not four, not five. So let me show that this one. Okay, this is our goal. So we wanted to take care of this exponential sum. Now, first observation is that our homogeneous variety is invariant under the dilation. This is a very good observation, right? So Fourier transform of variety H is just invariant on dilation. So the idea is to take sum of t, not zero, both sides, right? We have this equation. Now, if we look at this one, h hat is just constant, right? So take out, this summation is just q minus 1. So divide by both sides, q minus 1. So simply we get formula. H hat of m is same as this one. To get a right-hand side, just we use definition of Fourier transform. As usual, we add t equals 0 term here, and subtract t equals 0. Now, if we look at sum over this t, we can compute the sum over t by using orthogonality relation of canonical additive character. So simply, we have this kind of formula for Fourier decay. Okay? Now, here we need to know these two values, this value and this value. However, we already know that this first cardinality is less than similar q, and our homogeneous prior size of our homogeneous prior is less than similar q. Exactly q scale is okay, right? Then just plug in, and then crucially we use triangle equality, bottom dominates q to the 4, right? So we get this very good decay. Q to the d is exactly q minus dimension t plus 1 over 2, if t equals 3. So we are done. Okay? It's very easy. But someone may ask to me, right? Why don't you study for higher dimension? If we compute this kind of Fourier decay, we can get Stein-Thomas exponents, right? but we can't. We can't because it's for higher dimension. We can, if we use just try and equality, this decay is very bad. So we must use some translation between the first term and the second. Okay? So we didn't do that. When it's three dimension, this is true. We believe dimension is other, then the Fourier decay is very good. Dimension even, Fourier decay is bad. Okay? Now let me move to the averaging problem for finite field. This problem is not a technical problem, just what I want to address for the averaging problem is that our Fourier decay of our homogeneous variety is very, very good in three dimension. Okay? So first, this averaging problem was introduced by the Hubbard-Stone, so Wright, in the finite field setting. And they mostly studied the averaging problem related to just the algebraic for the vector value polynomial, right? And then we set up this problem for general case. Just let me review the notation. Also, we use the d sigma for the normalized surface measure on the our homogeneous variety. Okay, size is good, and dx is normalized count measure. The natural thing is we also define A of P2R is the best constant such that the following estimate holds, right? Averaging of Rayleigh. This is averaging of Rayleigh. So before, this we want to find the exponent, right? P2R such that this constant is uniform constant, which is independent of finite size of finite field. Okay? Now here is our the necessary condition for boundedness of averaging of Rayleigh. So if we test the previous equations with just a singleton function, and then we get something. This is L2, L2 estimate. This is L1, L infinite estimate. Okay. Now this is critical exponent in general case d divided by d plus 1 comma d plus 1, right? D plus 1 over d plus 1. Is something wrong? It's in the mirror. If we test the with the singleton function, maybe we get this line above this line, and then we use duality, we can cover all this region. So this region indicates the necessary condition region. However, if our variety contains huge alpine subspace, then we may improve this necessary condition, like by taking this line. You can ignore this, right? But today, we don't need this one. We get directly this sharp exponent, right? So let me see. Let me do some remark on the necessary condition for the boundedness of averaging of Rayleigh. In Euclidean space, on this region, the LPLR averaging estimate is impossible. However, in the finite field case, on this region, the extension estimate only holds. This is somewhat different between the Euclidean case and finite field case. Since our averaging operator is a convolution operator, right? Convolution operator. So in Euclidean case, in this region, the vacuum property is impossible. But finite field case, not the case. Why? Let me see this example. If P is greater than or equal to R, if N is okay, then we know, right, the total mass of our variety is 1, total mass of FQD is 1, right? So let's assume Q is greater than R, the first inequality is from Young's inequality. Here, this term times this term, right? This is 1. And second equation inequality is followed from the just held inequality, right? This times some value, right? This is 1. See, it is true, right? If P is greater than R, then this vacuum property only holds. So we are also interested in the case when P is less than or equal to R. Here is our main result for averaging problem. In fact, if our homogeneous variety does not contain any plane passing through the origin, you have same size condition of homogeneous variety, then this necessary condition is in fact sufficient condition. Okay? So we solve completely this problem. Right? This problem is well known. We use a well-known Euclidean argument. So simply, once we get this exponent, we just use interpolation, we get all regions. However, if we adopt the Euclidean argument, like if free decay on our homogeneous variety is very, very good, then which implies this conclusion. At dimension equal to T equals 3, then this is same as this. So we are done. Simply this, the idea to get this lemma is like we use a Falcone-Ricci kernel, then simply we get L2, L2 estimate, we interpolate L2, L2 estimate and L1, L infinite estimate. So we get this one. To estimate L2 estimate, we use Fourier decay, right? Right? Then maybe we get this. This is not technical term. This is a well-known method in Euclidean case. Eric Soyer and your speech study this kind of topic. No. You study more difficult one, right? You study more difficult one. Okay. This is my end of my talk, but I have some question about the high dimensional problem. Actually, I ask Tao. Someone, maybe you know some of these answers. Let's say H. H is bright in F2D. Now, just we are interested in the case when P is odd. If P is even, this decay is bad. We know that. But let me take diagonal polynomial S, 2 to the S. The S equals 0. This is a homogeneous variety in even dimension, right? Now, P is even important. This is diagonal polynomial. Then my claim question is, is the decay of Fourier transformation on our homogeneous variety H is good or bad? We expect this decay is very good. So decay is Q to the minus T plus 1 divided by 2. Sure, M is not zero. Not zero, right? So far in algebraic geometry, if we use algebraic geometry method, Kolmogorov argument, it is well known that this decay is like that, is bad in general. In fact, dimension T is even, this is sharp. But the Kolmogorov argument does not distinguish between even case and odd case. I don't know some difference between even and odd dimension from that kind of argument. But our observation, and this must be true. There are several reasons why this is true. Why this is true. For example, let's say simple example is like that. T equal even, T equal 4. Dimension is 4, this is even, right? H. This Fourier decay is sharp. But this is bad, right? Bad. This is sharp. Why? Just we can simple, you can consider like S, comma, T, comma, T, comma. F, Q, 4. Such that S, T, in F, Q. Then let me say this is A, A. Then A must be contained in our variety. Right? This is two-dimensional plane. But what if we add one more here, like F5? That's still biggest like a high plane inside of our variety, like looks like dimension is 2, right? Not 3. Basically, T plus 1 is if T is other, this is integer. T is even. T is not integer, right? So in the final field case, there is some difference between the Euclidean case and other dimension and even dimension. Do you have any idea for this question? Okay. If the dimension is 3, yes, right? Answer is yes. Yes, right? Moreover, this any homogeneous variety here, 2, 3, 4, 5, anything works.
Do you
want
to try? Do you think we're getting answers? Are you ready to take other questions?
We have, I have five minutes. Can I finish all this? Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Answers?